This is The Think Tank with Dr. Mike O'Neill, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Okay, in the last week, we have had major reactions to the 17 students who were killed in a Florida school. Marches called under the rubric of March for Our Lives. There were 800,000 people in Washington, D.C. Hundreds of demonstrations, actually all over the world, not restricted to this country. One of those was in Arizona. And we have with us three of the people who organized that march here in Phoenix. We want to talk to you about a lot of different aspects of that. Not only why did you get involved and that sort of thing, but actually I think people would be very interested in the how you did it aspect of, as well. Lindsay, you can help me with the last word. Shalson. Okay. She's a senior at Desert Mountain. She's 18 years old, eligible to vote. She's been involved, prior political activities, been involved with AIPAC, which is a pro-Israeli lobby, and as well as some social work organizations. Welcome to the Think Tank.
Thank you.
Jordan Harb is 17. He's a junior at Mountain View, has been critically involved since the 2016 election, involved with the Save Our Schools referendum. We've had the folks who were involved in starting that. That was a sort of a David and Goliath thing. Nobody thought that any all the smart old-time politicos said, well, that's nice, but they'll never do it without any money. Well, there's an initiative on the ballot.
We showed them wrong. That.
Been involved also in registering 600 of his classmates to vote. So, and as well as being an organizer for the ACLU. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Jacob Martinez is the youngster here, barely. He's 16, a junior at Dobson High School. He is a member of the Teenage Republicans, and he is – I'm sorry?
I was the Arizona State Chairman, and I stepped down a couple weeks ago.
Arizona State Chairman for?
The Teenage Republicans.
Teenage Republicans, okay. You have worked for Ted Cruz – for president?
Yeah.
So that you must have been backtracked there, 14-ish.
Yeah, I was 14, 15.
And also been involved in work for Kelly Ward in this state, a Republican candidate for senator. Collectively, that suggests this is a bipartisan group.
Absolutely. The members on the team here are from all different walks of life. Every person on the organizing team, we didn't know each other prior to this. We have kids from Glendale, Surprise, all the way down to Queen Creek, from political beliefs ranging from hardcore conservative to liberal, Bernie Sanders fans. It's really just a melting pot.
I want to ask each of you how you got involved in this, if you could sort of go around the table here.
Well, I have been actively involved in primarily Save Our Schools Arizona and fighting for bringing more public funding to my own public school, as I've seen the effects clearly of low funding. And that kind of jump started after the Parkland shooting when I realized that there's not just an issue around public funding, but also just in the fact that, we're scared in our schools every single day. And
is that true? I mean, you're actually scared walking into school?
Yes. In fact, absolutely. I think so many people get it wrong when they say, 17 people died in the shooting and that is why we all got involved, but that's wrong. We got involved because kids spoke out. We have been living with fear and seeing people die since we were born, since our entire generation has lived with, almost monthly school shootings, and it's gotten to the point where we're rather apathetic to it. We have become used to the fear that we live in, and the Parkland shooting turned that narrative from fear to action because we saw kids our age speak up and end the excuse that it's not the time to talk about it.
Lindsay, your story.
Yeah, so I had actually just traveled to D.C. at the beginning of this month for an AIPAC event, and I got to meet a lot of the senators and congressmen at a certain event, and I was able to meet Senator Nelson, I believe, the one from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was
I've
able, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was able to talk to him for a little bit about the Parkland shooting and just the impact it had on me personally. We're all, like Jordan said, we're all scared to go to school right now. It's really scary, especially in Arizona with the lack of gun regulations we have, how easily accessible to get a gun to go into a school and shoot it up is. So I was able to have a conversation with him and just really talk to him about his perspectives on it. And I came home and I got in contact with Jordan through a friend, and I showed up to the first meeting, and I just fell so much in love with the idea of just helping to organize an event that will really have an impact, especially in Arizona. You know, we're such a red state. Organizing this event has just been such an honor and such an amazing opportunity to get involved with, coming from not really being in the political world besides AIPAC and a few social justice organizations. I felt like this is a really good opportunity to get involved.
You know, I'll tell a little personal anecdote here since you mentioned Senator Nelson. And Jacob, I know, worked for Ted Cruz. By the way, the politics of that is Nelson's a Democrat. Cruz, a very conservative Republican. Senator Nelson made an entreaty to Senator Cruz and is one of the actually few members of the Senate who's actually struck up a personal friendship with him. And the backstory is, it was his wife that did it. She ran into, this is Senator Nelson's wife, ran into Cruz at an event, invited him out to dinner. And, you know, you hear about partisanship in Washington, and all those stories are true. But there's an exception to that story. And Jacob, how'd you get involved? And I must say, this is probably something that may raise some people's eyebrows, because gun control has been something that the traditional Republican Party has been absolutely against. Yeah. So you're swimming upstream here.
And I know. Well, I've been involved with politics for a couple years now. But after the Parkland shooting, I think it hit all of us just because, like they've said, we're young people, we're in the schools, and we know how this is affecting our generation. And
you felt under personal threat in schools?
I think all students feel that there's always a threat looming.
There's a threat. There's something hanging
absolutely
over your head.
Absolutely, because it's so easy. You know, anyone could walk into the school and wreak havoc, like we've seen so many times. Uh-huh. But so after that, I wanted to do something. We've seen this so many times, and like it keeps being said, we've become insensitized to it, to where instead of being in shock and horror when it happens, rather, you know, now where? And that's not something that we want to feel. And so after I decided to get involved, I got in touch with Jordan and you know, got in the loop with the planning of things. And after seeing the party's irresponsibility to act and to even, we had a day of action on the 14th, and we attempted to meet with legislators all across the aisle to meet with them and express our concerns. And Republicans refused to meet with us. The governor refused to meet with us. And that, on top of everything else, was what led me to step down as chairman of the Teenage Republicans. And, you know, really to send a message that if we continue to have that traditional mindset where we don't want to address this issue, they're going to lose young people all across the country.
Have you had any pushback either from other Republican students or from other places?
Oh, absolutely. Republicans are infuriated with me because of my decision to try and address this issue. And my only message to them is, you know, that your thinking is outdated. And I hate to say that, because I would love to see the Republican Party succeed. But they're treading in dangerous waters if they continue to refuse to act. And, you know, these lives are on their hands, in their hands.
Interesting. We will pick up this conversation with three of the organizers between the March for Our Lives march in Phoenix last week. And we'll discuss a little bit about how they pulled this off. Getting 15,000 people to show up for something is no small tax. I'd like to go into that next, the mechanics of how you guys pulled this off, when we return in the Think Tank in just a minute.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
We're back with three of the core organizers of the March for Our Lives march that was held in Arizona last week. I want to give Lindsay an opportunity to correct me. I reported a crowd size of 15,000 because I read it somewhere. I don't claim that to be definitive. You say I'm wrong.
Yes. So we had reports, DPS counted 15,000 that were on the lawn. But we had a professional estimator look at the crowds, and we're estimating around 25 to 27,000 actually showed up in total. That is our estimate that we've been saying. A lot of the media has not been saying that because of the DPS report, but that is the crowd estimate size we got from a professional estimator.
And when we were actually marching, it was actually, like, rather amazing, because we were at the front with the banner, and our route, I think, was a little bit bigger than the Women's March route.
It was 2 miles.
Where did you go from?
We went from the Capitol all the way down to 8th, mm-hmm. And then went down and went up again to Adams, back to the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got to the end of
that loop—
Because
the rally at the end was at the Capitol, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
And by the time we got to that end route, there was still a line of people waiting to get started.
Yeah,
We were told to walk slower because we were getting back to the beginning, and there were people who still hadn't left to start the march.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It was incredible, especially because it was really just kids. And, you know, all these people saying, well, we're just an extension of, like, the Democratic Party or George Soros or whoever that is, you know.
Well, that's an old political technique. Especially if you're on the losing side of an argument, discredit the persona.
It really shows how mobilized we are. Because if you have to come down to the point of discrediting children, obviously we're doing something right. Because this entire march was organized literally by high school students. In our meetings, we did not let adults have a seat at the table. The only person who had any really impact on anything we were doing was Geraldine Hills, and that's because she wrote the checks, because a bunch of 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds are not allowed to have $50,000 because that's how much we've raised.
Is that what the budget was?
Mm-hmm.
And she was a funder.
Yeah, and Jerry was, just really quickly on Jerry, she was amazing help for us. She had a lot of contacts that she put us in contact with. That really helped us mobilize the march. She was probably one of the only adults that we really worked with side by side who really helped us out. But she was amazing. Like, props to her. Kudos to her. She did such an amazing job helping us out as well.
But yeah, it was mostly just us. And Geraldine Hills so Arizona's for Gun Safety was our fiscal sponsor because, again, you know, we can't have—
You need an entity to receive money.
Yes, we need
incorporated.
A legal entity.
They can't give you the money.
Yeah, so we raised $50,000. $40,000 of that was grassroots efforts. All of it was donations. $10,000 was a grant from every town. So, I mean, I think it's incredible that
that's
literally—
every town for gun safety,
yes,
right?
They gave
us— Gabby Gifford's group?
It's different. We did get a grant from them as well for about $500. But $10,000 were grants from organizations, and $40,000 was just a bunch of teenagers raising money.
And where—
by individual donations.
Roughly, in big terms, where does that— to do something like— I know stuff costs money. Anything costs money. Where'd the money go, more or less?
Most of it went to the actual march. We ordered 30,000 water bottles. We had a stage. We took every path and every loophole we could to make sure that it was as organized and as comfortable as possible for these people. And, you know, we were very generous in how much money we spent on it. But we only wanted to raise $20,000. That was our goal. And we surpassed that by an insane amount. I mean, the money kept coming. It was, you know, you're telling people, you know, we have all the money we need. And they're like, oh, no, take my 100.
This
and
doesn't happen. You understand this does not happen in fundraising.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me tell them no. So now we have $30,000 extra, and we're going to be using it going forward.
Oh, so your expenses for the march was only 20.
Yeah.
So you got $30,000.
We have $30,000 extra because they wouldn't stop giving us money. So we're going to be putting that money to use down the road and organizing more events. We have a couple of things coming down in the short term, and we are definitely mobilizing to create a network of student organizers across the entire state to keep this going in a long-term effort into the election year.
And just really quickly also, we had about 400 volunteers that came to this march and helped us out. About 200 of that was voter registration, which was amazing. And then on top of that—
How many did you register?
We registered almost 400, but what actually happened was—
And I believe, by the way, just to interject— If you're 17 and you're going to turn 18 by election day,
you can register now
so that you can. If you wait until election day, it's too late.
Yeah. And what happened while we were registering voters, and I think this worked out, this is amazing because most of the kids that showed up already registered to vote before the election. The kids were so energized that they took initiative to register online or at a recorder's office before they came to the march. So that's why our numbers weren't as high as we were expecting. And a lot of these
kids— You can register online.
Yes, you can.
I registered online about 2 weeks ago.
Through the
DMV. That's news to me. I thought that because of ID requirements and things like that, how do they—
You need your driver's license ID and social security number, and you can do it online.
Scan it? Or
You put in your driver's license number.
You put in your number.
Yes.
I just did this
and,
online.
And another thing that was kind of amazing is that a lot of the kids
that
showed up
were... And you
don't
need a driver. Now, in fairness, you don't have to drive to vote. So is it just a Social Security number?
Yeah, there was an option if you didn't have a driver's license to do something else. Yeah. I don't remember what that option was, but there is an option.
Is that an or an and? I mean, does a driver's license, does that do it by itself? I don't think...
You can have either or, but it's best to have both to make sure like it gets through quickly.
Okay.
But we had a goal, I think, of 1,000 to register, and we only registered almost 400 because... The majority of the kids who were eligible already took initiative, and a lot of the kids who showed up were too young to register. And I think that just shows how energized these kids were because so many of them were too young to vote or had already registered.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting a little bit. I still don't have 100%. You know what? We'll defer that to the next segment because I haven't really gotten into an answer to the question of how you pulled this off. But exit music here. This is Jennifer Hudson singing "The Times They Are Changing." By the way, were you guys familiar with this before she sang it?
Nope.
No, because
I was.
You were. I mean, to my generation, this is not a song; it's an anthem. And
never heard it.
I haven't heard this either.
I have a playlist with songs like these, just like to get hype for the march a couple weeks ago and everything we're doing.
I've listened to a lot of Evan Hansen.
there's a 17-year-old singer, Evan Bortner. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He's a 17-year-old. He's been playing music since he was about four. And I went to a concert. He sang it, and he said he had never heard it before, which astounded me, because to me it's a background part of my life. Mm-hmm. He said Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary told him they ought to sing it. So the lyrics are also very appropriate. I mean, there's if you've listened to that, it's basically saying to your elders, get out of our way.
There it is.
You know, and it's an anthem that goes back to civil rights and anti-war era. We'll be back with in just a moment.
Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
We are back with Jordan Harb, with Jacob Martinez and Lindsay Schwarlson, who were the, and I apologize if I butchered your name again.
Lindsay Schwarlson, you're good.
You can correct me. I teased before the end of the last segment the question of, which is really the impressive accomplishment. 25,000 or thereabouts to show up at a rally. I mean, people kill to get 300 people to show up. Sometimes they kill to get a couple of dozen to show
up. Yep.
Talk to me, if you would, start Lindsay. The mechanics, how did you pull this off?
Yeah, honestly, the night before, I was almost thinking, what if no one shows up? That was my little anxiety attack. But
you didn't do this the night. But take us back to the beginning. When did it all start?
Yeah, so I only joined about 2.5-3 weeks ago. I came on a little bit later. Jordan and Sammy really were the ones who started off. Sammy created the Facebook page. Jordan kind of came in and started helping with logistics. And then I came on about 3 weeks ago, and we started organizing the volunteers, which is what we really needed.
How?
We needed people. So we had already sent out a survey and a poll of, like, do you want to be a volunteer? Sign up here through our website.
How'd you send it out?
I think we had a website and we had an email. So
how'd you get a list?
We had a sign up on the Facebook page.
Yeah,
okay, so
Facebook
you started
page.
By setting up a Facebook page.
We set up a website.
Is that still active?
Yes.
What's the name of it?
Phoenix March for Our Lives. We also have a website at marchforourlivesaz.org, and you can find some more info on what we're planning next there, too.
Yeah, so we got our list of volunteers. We had roughly around 400 say that they were interested. And then on top of that, we had volunteers sign up to be team leads. And so at every station or everything that they were assigned, there was a volunteer in charge of that station, just so we had some organizational structure. Mm-hmm. So me, and then I had a girl named Nicole.
A station is what? A physical location?
Yeah, so we had water stations all around the route that we had to put volunteers
at. No. Your day of march now. I want to know how you got the bodies into the place in the first place.
Okay. So we had about 10 key organizers that came onto the team.
Different schools?
Yes, different schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all from around the valley, like as Jordan was saying. I'm from Desert Mountain High School. We had Jamie from Pinnacle. Jacobs from Dobson, and we all came together and we delegated. We made sure that someone was in charge of, you know, who's in charge of safety, you know, PD and waters and stuff like that. And Sammy was in charge of that. Who's in charge of logistics and volunteers? And I was put in charge of volunteers. We had someone in charge of voter registration. That was Valerie. And we just had different people in charge of organizing different sections of the march. We had someone in charge of getting the stage crew and the banners and the light crew and Jamie really helped with that part. And so we had different delegations, and then we were assigned, and we had different, not due dates, but we were meeting mostly Mondays and Wednesdays, every single Monday and Wednesday at an organization called Mi Familia Vota. They generously gave us their space to use, and they were going to help us with voter registration. We had these meetings, and we invited state legislators to come and talk to us as well. And we invited, I think, ACLU came to one of our meetings, Black Lives Matter.
Legislators, who came and who didn't?
Isela Blanc and Randy Freese were at my first meeting. That's who I've met. And I think they were the only two that came to one of our meetings. We met with them right before our day of action so they could talk to us about what was going on in the legislature and how to approach different things. Like, we were going to sit in the gallery and then chant our way out, which actually did happen. And so it was really cool just communicating with them and getting that set in stone. We had someone in charge of getting in contact with candidates if they wanted to set up candidate tables. We had nonprofit tables, and people were just contacting everyone. We kind of took on the role of everything with specialties in certain things. So, like, I was helping with logistics, specifically in volunteers. Jacob was helping with the political strategy, specifically with the Republicans, stuff like that. And so that's where we really started.
And you said, if I remember what you'd said before, with the exception of this one woman who helped you a little bit, there wasn't an adult in the room?
No.
Nope. It was all students.
George Soros didn't send you instructions?
No, but he's welcome to send me a check.
Okay.
There it is.
So all of these, you know, these different roles that we had, everything was delegated to other students.
And by the way, to clarify, he hasn't sent you a check yet.
No, I'm still waiting on that.
You're waiting on that one. Okay.
If someone knows George Soros, please give him a call. I'm waiting on it.
Okay.
I've actually gotten behind on my car insurance because I don't really work that much anymore.
So... how many signups were there on the Facebook page?
We got 15,000 at the end of it.
Wow.
Just like signed up on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And so many more came because we were listed on the national website, word of mouth. Everyone usually brings a couple friends.
So that's kind of what I was getting. How do you get 25,000 people? If you got 15,000 people signed up who you can communicate with, that's... I mean, that does it for me.
And I think it helped because we strategically, you know, got a ton of... press attention by doing, you know, the day of action on the 14th and holding a couple of other events prior to really keep the pressure going. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we stole the news cycle quite a few times, it really got the word out that this march was happening at the Capitol building. And additionally, we bussed in kids from various schools. We reached out to a lot of administrations and often, you know, said, hey, this is really history that's happening. And
so some of the money you paid for some buses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, again, I come back to the you say you got in news cycles and whatever, but it sounds like you got your numbers mostly through Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Facebook now, really drove
news,
this thing.
News may have driven that.
Mm-hmm.
But envisioning if you've got key numbers in a school, that tends to go viral from there.
And we had a lot of student organizers, you know, reaching out to their school also and just saying, by the way, it's this Saturday, you know, be there. Our school meet in this area and we'll march together as a school or as an organization. A lot of these organizations really teamed up with us, not even directly. And they just reached out to their organizations and saying, like, we will be there as an organization and we are going to march together. So we had a lot of big groups of organizations marching together in their own shirts and their own signs and stuff like that.
And I think this march was really a testament to the huge impact that social media has with young people.
Mm-hmm.
We 25,000 people turned out at an event that was created on Facebook. If that doesn't show the impact that online has on people's decisions and getting them to do things, then I don't know what is.
But you know, I don't think online does it. You need an issue that people care about. Then online greases.
But it was the
because I can
vehicle.
Tell you, I've sat in business meeting with many people who say, "Well, we got to get this and make it go viral."
Yeah.
If people aren't engaged in it, it dies.
It really was the pairing of, you know, so many people. You know, enough is enough. This has been an issue that has been happening for 20 years now. Nothing has happened since Columbine. Nothing has happened since Sandy Hook.
Since before
the Vegas,
you were born.
Since Pulse.
Yeah.
And Columbine was before any year you were born, right?
Yeah. We have lived in an era where we have experienced school shootings regularly. And I think that social media really blew it up. And it was the pairing of the issue that people care about and social media that allowed us students to organize super effectively within other schools. And I think what really got so much turnout was the March 14th walkouts, because we actively reached out to every organizer who started a walkout and said, hey.
Explain what those were.
So students in schools walked out at 10 a.m. and had 17 minutes of silence across schools, you know, the entire valley and nation.
Did all three of you have those at your school?
We were on spring break, and that's why we held a day of action at the Capitol building, where we had over 100 kids show up out of their spring break time to the Capitol building. We made shirts that say, you know, what we wanted, because we can't bring signage into the viewing room. And we met with our legislators the entire morning. What to note is that almost no Republicans met with us. They canceled meetings. They refused to meet with us as soon as they found out we wanted to talk about, you know, gun violence. And after that, you know, we went into the legislative session and had our own personal stories told on the floor. And this was so important, because I think what's missing with our legislators is that they don't understand what we're going through. They don't understand the fear we feel every day, because they didn't live with it. When they were in school, there was no such thing as a school shooting. This was something that they can't even comprehend, the emotions we feel every day. You know, 3 years ago, I had a lockdown for about 5 hours. Yeah, wow. we thought that we were going to
die. You've had those too?
Yeah. Two or 3 hours at most.
It wasn't a drill. You know,
that's a whole lot different from seeing something on television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in it. And I had kids in class actually use the restroom in a bucket in my classroom because they were too scared to go outside and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, we had a school walkout the week after Parkland, because we knew that we were going to be on spring break when the national one was. And 2 hours before our walkout, the fire drill went off. And I can tell you, half of my school debated whether or not they should stay in school or go outside for the fire drill, because we knew that this was not a planned drill. And so we thought that a shooter had pulled it or something like that. We had been receiving threats all day. And the following day after the walkout, there was a rumor going around that a shooter was going to come into our school. I have a class of my school is about 2,200 kids. Only 300 went to school the next day out of fear that there was going to be a shooter at school the next day after our walkout. That is the fear right now.
I got to tell you, I get this in a way that I didn't when I began this. What you're telling me is that this is personal. This is not a theoretical.
This is why
issue
it's blown up. This is why so many kids are actually mobilizing. Kids that have never been involved in politics ever. And I think it's amazing, because, you know, I've been involved for almost 2 years now, and I've put in so much effort in getting my peers and my fellow students to get involved, and they never really did. But now kids are coming to me at school and they're like, Jordan, how can I get involved? I want to get involved. And it just really shows that this was a bad year to make us mad. And to really, you know, this year, students are actually starting to realize that they have power, and they're turning their fear into action. And it's really going to show at the polls in November.
Well, Jacob Martinez here reached out to the governor, and we will talk about what happened when he did that. And Jacob was at the time the state leader of the
Teenage Republicans.
We'll talk about what happened with that when we return for a final segment in the think tank discussing the March to Save Our Lives and issues of gun safety in schools in the think tank. We'll return for a final segment in just a minute.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
We are meeting here discussing with three of the students who were involved in organizing the March for Our Lives Arizona March, which attracted, I've been corrected to say, 25 or 30,000, mostly students, but not just students, in the Capitol last week. Jordan, you real quickly gave a website, and I want you to give another chance and tell people, no, it's coming if somebody wants to contact you.
Yeah.
There's a Facebook page and a website. Go ahead and give them.
So the Facebook page is just Phoenix March for Our Lives, and the website is marchforourlivesaz.org, and it has where you can donate, our upcoming events, and really what's next for us. And we're also actively recruiting student organizers. So if you're a student listening to this, you can sign up there.
Okay. Jacob Martinez, you were head of the Teenage Republicans, and you approached Governor Ducey.
Yeah.
Tell us the story, what happened.
So back when we were organizing the Day of Action, which was on the 14th of March, we really wanted a seat at the table with the governor and with the legislature, to make our concerns heard. So we went through the proper channels. I was in communication with Ducey's staff, and we were attempting to organize a meeting. We wanted to make sure that he understood what our concerns were and that they were properly addressed in the plan that he released. These were denied. At first, it was a very eloquent no, which, you know, led to us going up to his office.
Just flat out, they said no?
They said they would be unable to accommodate at this time. They'd try for a later date.
Well, that usually means they don't want to meet with you.
It was pretty clear what they were
politician
saying.
Politician language.
Yeah. So even after that, after our, you know, many people I'm sure saw our sit-in at the Capitol on the 14th, as well as the other actions we took to try and get the governor's attention, we still communicated. We submitted requests on his website. I was emailing his staff. And it went from saying no to and responding to just flat out no response. Mm-hmm. Since that date, they have not responded to any of my emails, which have been quite frequent, at least a couple a week, in attempts to get in touch with them, and they've been flat out denied. And, you know, we saw his plan, and we gave a response to his plan that we think it's a great start.
What is his plan?
He put it, so he what our platform is, we want comprehensive background checks at all points of sale, not just official licensed dealers, because that's very important.
Well, if there's a loophole, if you won't pass a background check.
Yeah,
it doesn't do any good just to require it at the stores, because you can go to a gun show and
His plan is it's a low impact, low resource facade that he is trying to use to appease independent voters, and that's really it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't actually want to take action because his plan is calling, for instance, stop orders, and that would allow you to petition a judge to strip guns away from someone who you believe is on the verge of a breakdown.
Yeah,
and We support this, but it's just not effective unless you have universal background checks, because you can strip the rights of someone through a judge, through an order, and they can just go to a gun show.
Well, also, as a practical matter, that's going to be a rare event.
Yes, it would be a rare event.
If you have to take affirmative action to take a gun away from somebody, that, for one thing, that takes time.
Yes, and that's just a piece of the solution. Yeah. But his entire plan makes no impact because there's a loophole.
And I think if that just saves one life, then it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Because every life is invaluable. Mm-hmm. And you know, people like to complain that, oh, what we're trying to do is too, it would be too hard to implement. It would make gun sales between, you know, private individuals too difficult. And I think that's just horrible to say, because you're devaluing the lives that could potentially save. And that's just awful. And Governor Ducey he refuses to meet with us. And so I'm going to issue this challenge once again today, weeks later. Governor Ducey, meet with us. Give us a seat at the table and let us voice our concerns to you. It's been quite some time. And you see that we're not going away, and we're not going to go away until we see solutions that actually make us feel safe in schools again. So reach out privately. You know, no one has to know that we're meeting if it's a pride thing. But like I've said, don't be a coward and hide behind staff and statements. Mm-hmm. Meet with us. Mm-hmm. Let us look you in the eye and tell you that we're scared and that we want solutions.
Yeah. And we also, on that, a couple days ago, we turned in our own edition of the policy platform. You can find it on our website. We made it better. We made it what it should look like, because his plan is absolutely inadequate in every way. Because, for instance, you know, he wants $9 million for counselors. But $9 million is a drop in the bucket. It won't do a single thing.
There's about a million students, I think, in schools, perspective.
That's not even a dollar per student. Mm-hmm. No, that's $9 per student.
The ratios right now for counselors to students, it's supposed to be 250 students to one counselor. Mm-hmm. Right now in Arizona, the state average is 900 students to one counselor.
Even 250, your counselor doesn't know your name.
Exactly.
Nope. Really, we're just calling, if we could get anything done this legislative session, you know, we have taken a very conservative approach
time. You mentioned the governor. What about legislators? Did you have any success in meeting with legislators?
You know, we actually met with Thorpe, and he really took on to liking. We gave him our policy platform, our official one, and he agreed with us on to an extent on background checks. And he also agreed with us on helping mental health support in schools. And we hope that we can get some leverage there. Mm-hmm. We also cornered Mesnard after he refused to meet with us.
He is the Speaker
times.
Of the House.
Yes.
Yes. He's not just an ordinary legislator.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. We cornered him, and he only talked to us because we were surrounded by the press. Uh-huh. And he gave very inadequate answers, but he did take our plan and said he would look at it. And
but
really,
you buttonholed him where he couldn't turn your way.
He couldn't do anything. Really, we're just calling for universal background checks, a ban on bump stocks, and more funding for school counselors, because the majority of these shootings here in Arizona are actually suicides. And funding teachers, having more SROs, is not going to solve that problem.
Lindsay, you told a vivid story in the break that people didn't get to hear, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to share it. And this is a sort of story pointing out why this is so visceral and so personal.
Yeah, and every student feels it. I was talking about with fire drills, how the fire drill goes off in school, and people take a second and they look around their classroom and they decide if they should risk going outside and having that fear of being shot, if there's a shooter on the roof.
Actually occurs to you,
It occurs to a lot of my classmates. We look at each other, we go, is it worth it going outside? Because we know there's probably not a real fire in our school. Is it worth going outside in an open field where there's rooftops where people can go in? The school doors sometimes are not locked. People can just come in. An ID is not going to bulletproof you. You know, you can flash your ID and get into the school, easy as that. And it's terrifying going outside, and you feel like a sitting duck. You're sitting in a field with 2,000 other kids.
And the point to me is, you think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and you think about it, and you're walking out. I was walking with a friend the other day ago, and she goes, I'm so glad that we're graduating in 2 months, so I don't have to worry about this the rest of high school. We have a fire drill. It's required. It's a state law that you have to have a fire drill once a month. And so we only have two more. And she goes, thank God, because I don't know if I can go through this anxiety any more times than that. You know, there's juniors, there's freshmen in high school now that have this thought ever since. I mean, even before Parkland, people think it's a thought. People have thought it, and now it's a reality.
Okay, real quick, what's next?
We have town halls that we're organizing on April 7th from 1 to 3 in the West and East Valley. We're inviting all of the powerful legislators who can actually make a difference. And then on April 20th, we're having some more walkouts. And you can find information on that on our website at marchforourlivesaz.org.
And Governor Ducey, we'll send you the information, but you can show up at any town hall you'd like. We'll have a place for you. Please be there and answer your constituents.
Yeah, we'll have a nice little play card and seat for you, and we hope you'll be able to come talk to us. Finally, we've been waiting.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming here. I've just been blown away at your intelligence and your thoughtfulness, and I'll leave with a personal proposal of my own. I know it doesn't go anywhere because it would be shocking to people. I think guns or marijuana, age limit ought to be 30, but I'm a proponent of voting at 16, and I think, and the reason is that I would love to see kids studying civics in school when they know, at a moment when they know that they have an opportunity to actually influence things. I think it would establish a lifetime of voting habits. And right now, the problem with kids and voting is that they don't vote.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a chance to
register.
And the think tank next week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.
Thank you.